This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. There's a lot of glass in public and commercial spaces, and the pro AV and digital signage industries have been applying all kinds of technologies to turn things like windows and dividers into part-time or full-time displays. In most cases, those jobs have come with compromises. There are films that might start curling at the corners or discoloring, mesh systems that look pretty good from the front but terrible from the rear, and most recently, super thin foils that need to be adhered to one side of glass panes. So what if the LED display was actually part of architectural-grade glass? That's the premise of a company called Clear Motion Glass, a Pennsylvania-based technology startup that comes at the business from the angle of commercial glass. Clear Motion is a spin-out from William Penn Performance Glass, which has for many years been making and supplying laminated and tempered glass for commercial buildings. Unlike other products on the market, Clear Motion's LED displays are sandwiched inside sheets of laminated safety glass. So when a building goes up or is being retrofitted, the glass panels that go in are also highly active, highly transparent displays. I had a good chat with Todd Stahl, a glass industry veteran who runs both the established and startup businesses. Todd, thank you for joining me.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I appreciate you having us on. It's going to be a pleasure to talk about some LED glass with you.
Yeah. Tell me about the company. I saw you guys at DSC back in December. You were busy almost the whole time, so I didn't really have a time or a chance to have any kind of a detailed conversation. But I know that the company's not been around that long, but it's grown out of a pretty well-established, quote-unquote, performance glass company.
Yeah. A little bit about the history there. So Clear Motion Glass, again, where we're making the LEDs inside of the glass. I came across the LED glass around June of 2022. So I've had it just about 2 years.
Okay.
The parent company is William Penn Performance Glass. And that's another company I started in 2011. We deal with high-end architectural glass. Mm-hmm. So kind of a cliff note version, we go to the top architects in the country and are like, hey, who are you designing for? And say, they'll say to us, hey, we want some really cool glass to go in the elevators for the Empire State Building. You know, so we got in the architectural space with glass, and actually, Will Penn was just voted one of the top 50 glass producers in North America. So something that we're definitely pretty proud of around here. Then I came across LED glass in around 2022. I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen put inside a glass, and I wanted to be a part of it. So,
say you came across it, what do you mean by that?
So, there's another product, in glass, another glass product that's been around, I'm going to say right around since 2000. It's a glass that goes frosted to clear from the turn of a switch.
So switchable people, glass. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Switchable glass. So, there's a company called Smart Film Blinds. Mm-hmm. And they were an applied film company, that would actually take that, what we would call switch glass, but they just took the film and applied it to existing glass. Mm-hmm. And it was owned by Alan and Tracy Ackerman. And then they had this connection with LED glass. They weren't kind of sure what to do with it. They knew it was really cool, had a chance to be really something big, but they were more of a film company. And then he and I got introduced through a need that we had for some smart film, the switchable film. And then eventually we had a partnership for a while. Then we decided basically that, you know, I'll stick with the glass part, what I'm best at, and we'll stick with the film part, which was what they were best with. So, but that's how I got introduced to it. right around 2 years ago.
Okay. So is what you're marketing now as Clear Motion Glass, is that your own product or are you reselling somebody else's manufactured product?
Yeah, no. So we actually do, we have partners overseas, a company called FilmBase. That's where we get the actual LED grid or LED mesh.
Okay.
We bring that to my facility in York, Pennsylvania, which is in the south central Pennsylvania area. We're 20 minutes south of Hershey, close to Harrisburg. And then we actually fabricate everything as a finished panel here. So we'll make the glass, we'll get the inner layer components. We have a laminating machine that actually works by pulling a vacuum and heating up to certain temperatures. And after that, we come out and we have a clear LED glass display.
So laminated glass is something that's been around forever. So this is just basically sandwiching the mesh in between sheets of laminated glass.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely making a sandwich component. Yeah, we start with a piece of one piece of glass. Say that's your component number one. Mm-hmm. Then we start with the inner layer materials. In a case like this, we actually have we use a couple of different techniques, but we use EVA, which is an ethyl vinyl acetate. Then we'll actually put the LED mesh grid on top of that. Mm-hmm. Then we put another piece of EVA. Then we go with the finished component of the sandwich, another piece of glass. Mm-hmm. We stick them in an oven. We run a certain cycle, and about four hours later, we have a laminated piece of glass, exactly how you described it. It's a sandwich makeup, for sure.
Was there a lot of R&D work involved in it? Because I would imagine if you're putting an LED mesh inside of an oven, then going to a very high temperature and all that, I'm thinking if I didn't know much about this stuff, I'd be wondering, okay, what's all that heat going to do to this thing?
Yeah. Well, we have to make sure that it can withstand certain temperatures, obviously.
Yeah.
And if you don't heat, just in general, if you don't get laminated glass hot enough, it
doesn't bond.
It does not bond correctly. What you have to achieve is a cross-linking. And the cross-linking is basically the interlayer material to the glass itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens at a temperature of around 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Celsius, I'm sorry, 110 degrees Celsius. So it's not getting hot enough to cook a turkey in there.
Right.
So we're not really dealing with extreme. I think a lot of people might think, when you're actually making glass out of, what we call out of batch, that's where the glass is, heated up to, 2000 degrees and you're really dealing with some extreme temperatures. It's not quite the same extremes at all when you're dealing with laminated glass.
Gotcha. So tell me what performance glass is and what high-end performance glass is, because I don't know the glass world terribly well.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So what William Penn Performance Glass is, the performance name kind of all started, our glass looks great, but it's all safety-rated glass. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the performance part of the glass. So if you're looking at our glass, say the choose for glass handrail, that's a very specific glass that's chose to withstand the certain load requirements,
right,
of a structural application. And then when we have our and typically most of our handrails are tempered and laminated glass. So you have, there's two ways on this planet to make a piece of glass safety rated. You either temper it and or you laminate it. We happen to do both of those things in a lot of our projects. And it's kind of funny, obviously safety rated glass is strong, but the only thing that's really taken into consideration when you're referring to safety glass is you automatically assume it's going to break and what happens when it breaks.
Right.
So with the tempered glass, you put a lot of stress in the glass itself through a heating and cooling process. And whenever that glass would break, it breaks into small panels that would not be able to potentially cause a life-threatening wound. And then you have the exact opposite with laminated, where, if a rock hits in your car, if that's ever happened to you, the rock doesn't come through and the pieces of the glass, the shards don't come through. They stay together.
Right.
So you got those two things to as the requirements when you're thinking about, you know, what is safety rated glass.
Okay. So with the Clear Motion product, is it an indoor product only, outdoor facing product, or what are the use cases?
Yeah, no. So what's really cool about this, our LED glasses, almost wherever you're using, you know, architectural glass right now, you can now use our LED displays. So it can be used in exterior applications, you know, a building facade, glass canopies, railings that may be exterior. All of the components are kind of encapsulated inside that glass. Mm-hmm. That glass is making a nice, really safe, cozy home for the LED display inside of it.
And it's bright enough that it can be on a glass curtain wall for like an auto dealer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of the really cool applications for it. In fact, you had mentioned at the trade show, and boy, were we busy. I think I was just talking about this yesterday. We scanned around 450 people in that short show. Yeah, we were, our voices were a little strained by the end of the evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but but the brightness, so the brightness of our display at the show, Dave, was only running around 4%. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of one of the more amazing things about the product, you know, because it was still kind of bright at 4%. You know,
sure.
Once we started bringing that up, a few potential clients wanted to see it, you know, 50, 60% brightness. So yeah, you can totally use this as an exterior sign and get whatever brightness you need. I think some of the products are well over 10,000 nits, you know, depending on, you know, the needs. And I think one actually was up to 15,000 nits.
Right.
It's just, yeah, plenty bright for outside.
Yeah. Once you get to 3,500, you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And transparency, I see on your website, it says up to 90% transparency.
Yeah. So when you get to some of the pixel pitches that are viewed from, you know, say a distance of around 100 feet.
Yeah.
I think the pixel pitch at a 20, I believe that one may allow up to 90% of light to come through. So it's really cool. I mean, you have this really great display and then you're just getting all this, you know, you're not cutting off any spaces, you know? So if you have a traditional LED display, you can only view that from one side, you know? And I think that's kind of what's really amazing about this product. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're looking at the product, you don't even realize that it's transparent, you know, until the image would say it's rotating from one image to the next. And you're like, oh, wow, it's clear. There's people behind there, you know? So I think, yeah, it's really cool in that application.
And from what I saw, because it's this mesh material with, you know, super thin wiring in between each of the LED lights, the challenge I've had with a lot of quote unquote transparent products, so I'm using air quotes there, is that they look good from the front side, particularly at a distance. But when you look at the back end of the things, there's a mesh, like a metallic mesh or something like that, a grid system that kind of makes it look like crap.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, with a lot of the applied films that have been out there before, and there's not a whole lot of them, but there are a few. You certainly, from that backside, it doesn't look at all like the front.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like with the LED actual metal meshes. Again, they look phenomenal from the front and you get behind you like, man, what am I looking at here? So with our product, what's really cool about that, is you get a little bit of the halo effect, from the image that's playing on that you can see from say the view side of the glass.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a slight reflection off of that front piece of glass that kind of bounces back through. So you see a little bit of a glow or a halo in the background, but it is not an eyesore. It looks pretty good because you can see out and, you know, again, you have a very clear picture of the people that you're looking through or whatever object you would be viewing from the backside of the product. It looks really good. There's nothing that really, it's a good look from the backside.
Yeah, that's, there's numerous products out there that now do this kind of foil mesh effect and you have to adhere it to the inside of a sheet of glass, which is all fine and everything else, but it doesn't look that good from the inside, does it?
No, it really doesn't. The concept here, we touched on hockey a little bit earlier, but you have all these hockey nets in the arena to protect the fans, mm-hmm. That a puck doesn't hit them. Mm-hmm. And most of those meshes are black. It's harder for our eyes to kind of pick up the black mesh than it is for
some. Yeah.
There's some that have whites, but not many. Mm-hmm. And the black is it blends in a lot easier. I'm a big hockey fan, so I've been to a few arenas, and the white ones are a little harder to, I think it takes away from the image more. And that's why we're using a black LED mesh. Mm-hmm. When we first started, it was a white, and it just didn't have as good of a, again, I felt it took away from the product from the backside.
Right.
Yeah.
So presumably there are limits in terms of the size of a glass panel that you can do, because you've got to laminate it in an oven of some kind, and that they're only so big. So if you have to use the example I mentioned earlier of an auto dealer's glass curtain wall, where it's, the sheet of glass might be pretty darn big. How do you put multiple units together, and what does that look like in terms of cabling and everything?
Yeah. So we're always kind of limited in sizes by a couple different things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be the actual raw product glass that we're using. Some sheets are available to us bigger and smaller. The width of the laminating materials, the EVA that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. can limit this. And then our oven as well. So basically, in our oven here in Pennsylvania, we can laminate an LED panel roughly about 6 foot by 10 foot.
Okay.
So, that's a pretty sizable piece of glass, and then what we can do, if you're doing a glass facade, it kind of gets into a little bit more of how the glass is installed, but you're basically stacking the panels. There's a control unit that attaches to each panel of glass, and then those control units are all tied together. Mm-hmm. And then that gives you one cohesive image plane, from one panel to the next.
Do you have much of a seam in between them?
If you remember at the trade show, I think we had two panels out there, and we had a seam in the middle. Mm-hmm. So I'll see the seam, you'll see the seam, but when the image is playing, you really don't even notice it's there. A lot of times, depending on the application, a glass facade's a little different, because you're going to have most likely all four edges of the glass covered.
Right.
But we have a lot of applications where the panels are being butt jointed together, and it's a nice polished edge there. So with the image running and stuff, you really don't even see it unless you get within a couple feet of it.
So we're talking millimeters, not inches, in terms of a gap.
Yeah, absolutely. A gap's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3/16 of an inch, plus or minus.
Okay. Yeah. So not much at all.
Yeah, not much at all. No, like I said, it's pretty cool. And that image is going, you're like, it just looks like one big piece of glass.
And are there technical limits? Like if, let's say, an airport curtain wall that might be like 80 feet high for, the side of a terminal or something like that. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. That can all be tied in. You'd have, several zones there, and just depending on how you're handling the programming from a laptop, mm-hmm. And something like that, you just say zone one's the entire thing. And then you might break it down into individual zones if you want different things playing at different times. But right. This is definitely designed to do entire glass facades or curtain walls.
For over a decade, ScreenFeed has been the reliable choice for beautifully designed, licensed content such as news and weather. We handle over 27 million requests a day to deliver dynamic content to 200,000 screens across the globe. Now we bring you ScreenFeed Connect, a no-code solution that makes complex content projects easy. Projects that used to take our designers and developers weeks became a to-do we could complete before lunch. The easy-to-use browser-based tool leverages pre-built data connections and ready-made widgets to give you the power to design with data. Create team member profiles, schedules, tenant directories, progress boards, featured products, or anything that leverages your data. Discover how Connect empowers you to complete projects faster at screenfeed.com.
All those little lights generate some heat. How does the heat get out?
Yeah, so when you actually, it's something, we've we've had, like I said, we've had these, we've been working with these products for about 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And I always expect when I put my hand on the glass to touch it, that it's going to be nice and warm, but it really isn't.
Okay.
The heat definitely dissipates quickly. You know, there is some energy consumption and we have charts for that. So once we get into a building design, you know, we can get in there and say, hey, this is what you're going to need for your power requirements. But it's very similar power requirements to current LED displays,
right,
that have been around for a while. But yeah, it doesn't really create much heat. You would think it creates more. And I'm telling you, whenever anybody sees it, it's one of the first things that they almost always do is, oh, I expected that to be warm, and they touch it and it really isn't.
One of the criticisms, or let's say what a naysayer might say about this is, all right, if I buy this glass panel with the LED mesh embedded inside of it, what happens if there's a dead pixel? I'm stuck with that forever. It can't be repaired because it's sandwiched in between two sheets of glass.
You know, it was my biggest concern.
Okay.
We spent a good bit of time, so obviously, I mean, I think the lifespan on the LED bulbs we're using is right under 11 years.
Okay.
So, we found, you know, the biggest problem that we've encountered, and this took us a while before we were going to bring it to market, because that's by far the biggest concern. Anyone looks at that and goes, hey, you know, it's not the first time I've ever seen a bulb that they usually blow at some point, you know? So, there's a couple things. There's been a lot of research and development to make sure when it comes out of lamination that we've already, caused any bulbs to fail before those processes. And we actually have, a little bit of a protocol we've developed. So one of the biggest reasons it's going to cause a light bulb to fail is the heat and pressure in that vacuum, not so much the heat, but the pressure. There's a little bit of movement in there. So if all those connection points aren't just right, you're going to get a bulb that may come out after you've done all of the work, and then you fire it up and you know, there's a lot of bulbs and a lot of LED diodes and only one is bad. It's not good. So we actually have a pre-laminating process we run to actually replicate what it's going to go through the stressors of the lamination process. And if we find a bulb that, or a diode that might not be working, we can replace it after that pre-cycle of lamination. Now, flip side, let's say it's out there, it's in the field. If we use annealed glass on the front surface, so annealed's not tempered, but the backlight would be tempered. So you're still dealing with a fully safety rated, tempered and laminated makeup. We actually have a drilling process where we can drill a core out of the glass, and you can actually replace that LED diode if there's a problem. Yeah. So, and you know, what our experience is, I mean, once they come through lamination so far, with all the panels we've been working on, we have not had one go out.
Okay.
Put them in some, areas of our glass production facility near our tempering oven, which is a really cool piece of equipment. It has a 600 horsepower blower, that when the tempered glass comes through, it cools it to dissipate the heat, but it draws some dust. There's some heat back there. We've had a panel running there for 2 years in that condition without any issues. So, but yes, you actually can replace the bulbs if you need to, if one would go out.
So I'm curious, when an architect, and a general contractor puts a building up, they're thinking in terms of, you know, it being there for decades, with maybe the exception of football stadiums, which seem to need to be replaced every 5 years or so. Is 11 years an acceptable operating lifespan for a sheet of glass for a builder or for a building owner?
Yeah. I mean, our interlayers, I mean, man, they'll last 20, 30 years. The interlayers and the glass products, they're going to last a very long time. When we've been bringing this product to market, you know, I think back to the switch light, you know, it's one of the first times us glass guys are introducing electricity into the mix.
Right.
And at first, you know, back in 2000, I mean, really cool and had the wow factor. But it didn't quite last as long for me. I didn't really get into the product until recently. But you know, that product will last around 10 years as well. And that seems to, you know, we don't get a whole lot of callbacks, you know, very often with any of our glass products. But it seems like most clients are happy with a 10 year usage.
Okay.
That's been pretty good for the Switch Lite product. We throw a decade out there to the architects and designers now. That's a number that they all seem to be very happy with.
Oh, okay. So use the example again, a car dealer goes in, they're fine. They're thinking in terms of the glass that they put in is there for 10 years and they may switch it out anyways.
Yeah. I think, everybody wants to be fresh and new. So we found like with a lot of these high-end retail stores that we've designed with, you know, let's just, for instance, sake of argument, say, you know, it's a high-end, you know, jewelry line.
And yep.
Say they have, you know, they start in California with a new design. They take that design and they move it, you know, east to New York City. By the time they get to New York City, whether that's been 5 to 8 years, and they redesign the whole thing over again.
Okay.
You know, so there's a cycle. And I think, you know, especially with retail and a lot of these buildings, they always want to have a new, fresh look. And I think, you know, a lot of times they're redesigning in under 10 years.
I'm guessing, I could be wrong here, but I'm guessing that where there's hyper competition from China for more, what I would say is conventional LED displays and so on, you're probably going to have less competition for what you're doing, because the sheer weight of, you know, even if they can make glass cheaper over in China, shipping glass panels over here would be just like ghastly expensive, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty heavy to air freight glass, you know. It's always nice that there's this thing called the ocean between us and China.
Yeah,
especially us being, you know, we've been a manufacturer forever, you know. So, and thankfully, it is a little expensive to ship a finished product like that. It takes some time. So, and you know, right now, I mean, we're kind of pretty far ahead of the curve in how to actually laminate this properly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of our feeling was when we got involved with this that, you know, we got the LED technology, now just throw it in some glass and we got a home run, and it wasn't quite as easy to just throw it in glass and end up with a finished product.
Yeah.
You know, so there are still some areas, you know, we are not the only ones in the world laminating this product, but there is, from what I know, under five, we're the only ones who can do it thin and large panels. We're the only ones that I know of that are actually doing some of the very specific things to make sure it's going to perform properly in these laminated glass applications. And our process, we are patent protected on our process. I think we're just like in the first phase, but I don't know all the legal terminology, but we're going through the patent process for the way we laminate,
which will help you over here. It won't help you with Chinese product, but again, there's that ocean thing.
Absolutely. We have little you know, intellectual properties here, and you know, I'm not one to get into too many legal battles, but we would have some type of recourse if someone does come and, you know, is trying to laminate in a similar technique the way we do it.
I suspect you're kind of looking around the corner as to where this is going and the types of technologies that are emerging. Or do you kind of see this as what you have right now is Gen 1, and over time the light emitters will get smaller, the wiring will be even thinner, and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly the way I see it going. You know, this is, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, I really am a glass guy, and this is a glass company by people that absolutely love glass. Now, that's Will Penn. You know, Clear Motion, we have that same feeling as well, but this is more of a technology company. And what we're talking about today, like you said, Generation 1, you know, we're going to revisit this, you know, in under 5 years, and it's going to look, I think, a whole lot different.
Right. So who's buying it right now, and are you in the field with this?
So We're working probably over 50 to 60 current projects right now in the design phase.
Mm-hmm.
The people that, you know, it's almost everyone we're working with has assigned NDAs. You know, so we can't necessarily say the clients that we're designing with right now.
Right.
But, you know, one's a fast food, a high-end fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They want one of these in each restaurant.
Okay. You know,
and that's actually for an exterior application.
And are these proposals or purchase orders?
They are proposals right now. A lot of verbal commitments. We have a project we're working on in the Middle East in the design phase right now that's 18 months out. The funding's been approved.
Yeah.
They're designing it in the UK, and then we're working with an audiovisual company, I think, in Texas. So this is really, you know, this is really brand new. There isn't.
You're in startup mode.
We really are.
And
you know, this is the third company I've started literally from scratch, and I think it'll be the last one because, boy, it is challenging. It is challenging. It takes a lot of energy. There is this great energy when you're starting it. And this is a little extra challenging because this is brand new. No one has ever seen, you know, clear LED glass displays. Like, it did not exist 4 years ago. People might have think they saw something similar. Like you said, it was a film or a grid that was put behind the glass. But when people are seeing this now, so we're creating a new market. We're educating people to that market. We're educating ourselves, you know?
Yeah. I'm guessing when people come to a stand at a trade show you're at, the architects and the people who design physical spaces are the ones who are going, okay, this is more like it. They haven't really liked the idea of films or foils and all that because of how they look at the back end, or they're worried about a film, sort of, particularly if it's exposed to UV light and all that, it's going to yellow and on and on.
Yes. Yeah. So what the feedback from the A&D community has been, we did a AIA show in San Francisco last June, and we had one or two clients say, "Hey, Todd, we have the budget for this. You know, we have the clients that want this, and I've been looking for this product for years."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we start designing the project with them. And that's the thing. It's a very, you know, once I shake hands with an architect, you know, that we might not actually have that project begin production for 24 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
So depending if the building's coming out of the ground or if it's just a remodel of an existing one, it's a very long cycle until we actually get orders placed. And, you know, something I've been dealing with for 30 years, it's kind of the way the industry is.
Infrastructure projects are never quick, are they?
No, they really aren't, you know, but the A&D world is kind of our background. It's where we've been for a very long time in that space. And we've definitely noticed that, you know, companies, individuals in the audiovisual world, they respond to this entirely differently. This doesn't have as many questions in their minds. They're more educated because they're used to dealing with LEDs already for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of interesting how the two markets work together. Like, you know, DSE show, you know, where we introduced the product, I would say more to the audiovisual world.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm using the right terminology there.
Yeah.
It was received just as with that much energy, but a lot of more understanding right away. Not as many technical how-to questions.
Yeah, it's a variation on stuff they've seen before, exactly. But maybe a better variation.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. You know, and the architects, like, you know, you were saying, and even in general, I think when you take even the, like, LG makes an applied film.
Yes.
LG was in my, I think the North American president. I forget the gentleman's name. He was in my shop a little over a year ago. And we were, you know, working with his film, and then we showed him our LED glass, and he was blown away by it.
Yeah.
There goes
my business.
Well, I think he's like, I'm going to make that too. I don't think he was worried about his business.
Yeah.
but that applied film, that they had been using. I mean, when, again, from a very large, long viewing distance, the product looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ready yet to be viewed in shorter viewing distances. But the fact that it's applied I do think that there is something like when you're buying a high-end product, you don't want people to be able to come up and pick it off. And
yeah,
I mean, that's definitely happens with every piece of film I think I've ever worked with in my life. The first thing people do is they take their fingernail and they try to scrape the edge of it. It's just something instinctual about humans. And I think if you take that film now, I always say, if you put a piece of film on glass, it's just film. Once you laminate that film inside of glass, you now have a glass product. You know, it protects it. It does what you were saying. It prevents it from being yellowed over time, you know, because the inner layer blocks out almost 100% of the UV rays, you know. So I think it's a great home, you know, for the LED mesh.
Right. So does William Penn and Clear Motion Glass, do they operate separately, or are you kind of in the same office, the same building and everything else? It's just different business cards.
Yeah, no, actually we are in the same overall building complex, but we're not connected physically.
Okay.
So Clear Motion basically has its equivalent of its own social security number, which down here in the business and for business, the IRS wants us to have EIN numbers for our businesses. So Clear Motion has an EIN number. Will Penn has an EIN number, obviously, you know, but they're definitely operated as two companies, but obviously very close connections.
Right. And you are running both?
I am running both right now. and spoiler alert, two's a lot harder to run than one.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. If people want to find you online, they just go to clearmotionglass.com.
Yeah, that's it. They can find us there. There's some emails there. They can shoot an email to us. And yeah, we'd love to talk to anybody that, you know, if this product's right for them. You know, we're really excited about it and definitely creating a lot of energy with it.
Are you at a trade show anytime soon?
Yeah, so we're doing InfoCom, I believe. Okay. It's the middle of June out in Vegas.
Yes.
So you're going to be there?
Yes.
Awesome, man. We get to meet in person then. We'll carve out some time for that, Dave.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a good show for you. There's, you know, tons of pro AV people there.
Yeah. I love that. It's a new space for us. So we're a little extra excited because that's definitely not like a glass trade show is.
All right. Todd, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate it, Dave. It was a pleasure.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 69 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 16-9 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 16-9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16-9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 16-9, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.